I'm speaking today with Joe Moody, running for state representative in El Paso in House District 78. Joe, first question, why are you running this race?
We stand at a crossroads in Texas, in the country, especially in El Paso. We're on the brink of greatness in my hometown. And we need someone who's going to put El Paso's needs before all else, above all the special interests and all the, you know, we've experienced a lot of cronyism at the state level. We need to put an end to that. DeMargo is the epitome of that. And so that's why I'm in this race, to represent truly what the El Paso needs are and not give in to the interests across the state.
Now, the seat you're running for is an open seat. DeMargo, your opponent, beat a long-term incumbent, Pat Hagerty, in a pretty contentious primary, one that actually saw Governor Perry raising money for Mr. Margo against Hagerty. Hagerty had always, received a lot of crossover support. So how do you see the election playing out in November?
Well, he had received a lot of crossover support. Pat Hagerty was a moderate Republican, and he represented El Paso well. In fact, I was surprised to see the governor come across an 18-year incumbent Republican. And, to me, that says there's lots of strings attached to DeMargo, and they have put their name, their stamp, on his campaign. As we move towards November, you've got to look at why Pat Hagerty was successful, why he's been a good representative, why the Democrats locally didn't challenge him for many years, because he fought for us on education, he fought for us on health care. And the representative prior to him, Jack Vowell, was a moderate Republican. It is an independent, it is a fiercely independent district, and you need someone who's going to speak to that effort. And I think that when you speak to the independent voters, the moderate voters in that district, and you tell them exactly where DeMargo stands on these issues, and it is far to the right of Pat Hagerty, and it's far to the right of the previous representative, Jack Vowell, they'll know the real choice for El Paso. The one who's going to stand up for El Paso is Joe Moody.
Well, and of course, Representative Hagerty was an opponent of Speaker Craddock in the last session.
Yes.
Is that an issue in this race? In your race?
Absolutely. I think Speaker Craddock has been someone who has been, he's been a bar to success in El Paso. He had a vote against the Tigua Casino there in El Paso. He voted against our medical school funds in the Medical School of the Americas, that is, it's going to be one of the greatest things that El Paso could ever have. He stood in the way of those things. His agenda is not El Paso's agenda. And when the primary ended and DeMargo came to Austin to a fundraiser hosted by Tom Craddock, we knew who's running that campaign. We know what his agenda will be, and it's not El Paso's agenda. It will be an issue in this race, and Mr. Margo has a lot of questions to answer as it relates to his relationship with Tom Craddock, because during the Republican primary, he couldn't run far enough away from him. But right after it was over, he ran straight here to Austin to get his agenda for November.
Now, your father ran for Supreme Court Justice in 2006 and has run for office statewide before. What have you learned from his experiences, and how does that help shape your campaign?
Well, I managed the campaign 2 years ago, the walk across Texas, where my father walked over 1,000 miles across Texas. And what I learned about campaigning, and I've worked on several, but that was a very unique, very populist campaign. We reached out to people on an individual level. As you walk through town, you talk to everybody. What I learned is that you don't dismiss any voter. You talk to everybody, you understand their issues, and you reach out. It taught me a good work ethic in a campaign, because we were running a very ragged schedule with a very small team. But, in the end, reaching out to voters on an individual level, talking to them, learning what is important to them, and you can take that from there on, and it makes you a stronger candidate, it makes you a stronger person. And that's what I learned. And in the end, it led the Democratic ticket statewide from the bottom of the ticket.
So. Now, El Paso, of course, is a border town, and
yes.
Border and immigration issues have been, in the news a lot lately. What, if anything, do you believe the state government can or should be doing to deal with border and immigration issues?
Well, I'm for law enforcement. I'm for enforcing. I'm a prosecutor in El Paso. I'm for enforcing the laws of Texas, enforcing laws of the United States, but it's where that responsibility lies, and it's in which way we do it. In a border community, you have the sister city of Juarez there, which we've been recently experiencing some violence across the border. We need to reach out and work with the community rather than building up walls as high as you can see. A safer, more progressive idea is to work with the communities, allow law enforcement to communicate better so that we can enforce the laws in an effective way. At the state level, you can increase funding to DPS to help in that effort, give them the technology and the tools that they need to assist. We should not have local law enforcement involved in enforcing immigration policy. That creates a lot of problems at the local level. But we should continue to work with the federal government, continue to work with the government across the border in Mexico to strengthen the security there.
You mentioned the Tigua Casino. Tell me more about that. What is the issue with that?
What you have is a group, a small group of Tiguas there in El Paso that fought hard for their casino. They were doing great things there. They were getting scholarships for the children. Business was booming around the area. You saw it was a source of pride for the community, not just their community, but the community of El Paso. That money was, or that ability was yanked by Rick Perry, and since then you've seen a downfall in that community, and it's too bad because they were doing well by their own people. And in our current tax crunch, and no wondering where we're going to get money to pay for education and things like that, there is an agenda out there that can allow for the Tiguas to open up in a limited form of gaming, that allows gaming at some of the horse and dog tracks across the state, that would raise revenue, a new source, a new stream of revenue to the state, where we can ease some of the pressure on property tax. These are ideas that are out there we need to start thinking about, and it could benefit directly in my community of El Paso by lifting the Tiguas back up to where they were before, a source of pride for their community, and just resources for their kids as they put them through school.
Now, talking about taxes and education, of course, the legislature had a special session in 2006 that was supposed to be about school finance reform, but was really about property taxes. Going forward in 2009, what do you see the ledge needing to do about school finance?
Well, we need property tax reform, and it is being cried for across the state, specifically in my district. It's one of the number one issues out there. But in going forward, we need to look at how to give effective property tax relief without jeopardizing what's going on in the education system, which includes looking at the way we spend money at the district level. You can't just look at, you just can't start cutting property taxes and saying that's the solution to an issue when you know you have rising costs, you have children that are coming into the system, and you also have some spending at the district level that's maybe not as tight as it should be. You need to look at both sets. I think we need to look at the way that we educate our students. The testing system itself creates enormous costs for our district. So revamping the testing system at the district level, at the state level, by bringing us back so we have only one form of accountability rather than two forms like we have in this state, we start to limit the costs at the district level, and that helps. It helps drive down the demand for the property tax. So those are the different ways we can start to look at the issue.
Now, higher education and its costs have also been an issue lately. The legislature passed a law in 2003 that allowed public universities to set their own tuition. That has been fairly unpopular as tuition rates have risen. What do you believe the legislature needs to do about this?
They need to rein that in. We have kids that are graduating our El Paso high schools that can't afford to go to UTEP, our Institute of Higher Learning there, and it's unfortunate, and it's hit very hard in my district specifically. And tuition deregulation, I think, by most people's standards at this point, has been a failure for the middle class, for people trying to lift themselves up through education. And it's been an increased burden on the community college system in El Paso. You have an increased number of students going there. And so they're overtaxed. I saw that Texas Tech has now set in, that's the school I went to for law school, has now stepped up and for the first time, I think, become the first school not to move their tuition rates up since deregulation. Let's see how that works. And I think they will stand as an example of what we can do. We need to rein in those costs because it's skyrocketing. I understand that there are costs associated with higher education. Everybody knows that. It costs money to do that. But we were doing it fine for a very long time. We need to figure out a way to do it that's fair and equitable for all the students.
Do you believe UTEP should be made into a Tier 1 institution?
Absolutely. We should always push for the best for our local university there.
They would need to spend more money on research and development. Is that something that UTEP needs to do, or is that something that the state government should be helping them out with?
Well, there's probably be a team effort with that to build, because it as a state institution, you want to build up all these, and as a premier university on the border, we can start to use UTEP in a lot of different ways, and they focus a lot on border studies and border relations, and this is an interest at a national level, so we should build it up in that regard, tied to the studies that relate to the border. It is what makes us unique in El Paso, and we should always focus on that.
Do you believe that El Paso, as a general rule, gets a fair shake from the legislature? It seems like El Paso is kind of in its own little world in the far western end of Texas, in its own time zone. And do you believe that El Paso gets the resources and the attention that it deserves from the legislature?
No, not at all. I think that we need to come together and build coalitions with communities that have similar needs as we do. We have a medical school now in our community. Let's get together with other communities across the state that have medical schools. Let's work towards common interests. We need to start building the coalitions. It goes both ways. We haven't gotten everything that we've needed, but we need to work well and build coalitions with, populations along the valley, in San Antonio. We need to work with groups that have similar interests that we do, and start to push a uniform agenda so that we can get what we do need for El Paso.
When you get to Austin in January, what's the first bill you want to pass?
Actually, I want to focus on campaign finance reform.
Okay, why campaign finance reform?
Because I think that we've had a system in Texas, is one of the last systems in Texas, that doesn't set any standards for their legislature in fundraising, and it's gotten to an appalling level. It's one of the things I did learn when I was running my dad's campaign in 2006, is a lot of people feel disconnected and disenchanted with the government as a whole, and it's tied towards, I don't have a voice because I don't have a dollar. I don't have dollars that I can give to people, and so my voice is squashed. We need to overhaul the system of campaign finance we don't have any rules in place right now. We need to look into that, and that's something that I think can start to give trust back to the people, and we can go from there.
Okay. Joe Moody, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you.